Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Rufus. Oh, that's Rufus Edmonston over there. Rufus, you feeling better?
Oh, I feel spry.
Good.
Oh, yes.
Rufus has had the pneumonia.
That is how you spell it, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it is pew. You know, it is not good. It is really
well,
not
you
good.
Know, that old antibiotics knocked it out. I call that a horse pill.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Well, I'm glad you could choke her down.
Weighs a half a pound.
Well, it worked.
For the first day, two the next day, get rid of them.
And Phil Campbell's here. And
good morning.
She brought some goodies over there. Not headache powders.
But, not goodies, right.
But some sweets.
Bakery goods.
Harrison's here, and I don't know if he'll say anything, but Johnny Coley's here.
Good morning.
Johnny, I'm glad. How's your wife?
Doing well.
I'm glad
she's
to hear.
She's recovering, not as fast as she'd like to, but she's getting there. So yeah. Every week's better.
I am glad. It's a rough time for something like that to happen around Christmas time.
Yeah. But
y'all got through Christmas.
We got through it. Yep. Everything's good. I think it was better than springtime for her because she would have been wanting to be outside more. So
I must tell you, the weekend before Christmas, I was heading to Johnny's, but I was a little late because I was at a family gathering in Pittsburgh, and I was going to give Johnny some other type of goodies. But Johnny didn't have time for him because he was going to a prayer meeting or someplace. Where were you going?
I forget where we were going.
I don't know. Y'all were going someplace.
We didn't go very much over Christmas, but
so
I think
you were lying
going to a friend's.
It was probably a
basketball game to watch a basketball game with some friends. That's about the only outing.
Melissa, I forgot to bring it, but Melissa made some peanut brittle last night. And,
oh,
so that's what honored. That's what I was bringing you, and something else. I don't know.
Well, I would hate honored. To bring up basketball with a little game that occurred 3 or 4 days ago.
Well, I don't know basketball. Yeah, we don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Much.
Well, since I'm so outnumbered all the time,
not a good subject.
Duke and Wake Forest are doing okay.
Yeah, Clemson's doing pretty well.
Look at Chris.
Yeah, but they aren't in the state. Yeah. We don't care.
Look at that boy. Well, that boy's eating an elephant's foot.
Yeah. Yeah, the mayor's son. You going to take one to the mayor? You are going to see the mayor today, huh? All right. Chris Hooks, Mayor Hooks of Mebane.
Fine
Mebane.
Mayor. Mebane. Fire mayor.
Yeah.
Fine man.
Yeah, that's right.
Fine and town, too.
That's right.
That's where I was born.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Well, we are at State Farmers Market in Raleigh, expecting to see Miss Monica here this morning. She's probably around, as they say, putting out fires, getting things. Now, they have shifted. If you're expecting when you drive in and seeing the vendors in the first building, Farmers Building 1, then you're not going to see them. They do maintenance on these buildings when they can. And so they are not in building number 1. They're in building number 2. Sounds like the price is right. And we're in the market shops. Now, Phil was trying to instigate something. We were thinking about moving outside. right there in the sun, because it felt
it
pretty good.
It feels good up against the building. There's no wind.
And you can scratch your back on the building.
Yeah.
Sit up next to the building.
I said the kale, you say.
Lie down like an old dog and all of that. So, but we did not do that. We're inside where it smells so good.
It does.
Now, is that the cinnamon bread down there, or is that the cinnamon bun?
The cinnamon bread that smells good. Yeah.
Oh, we have military royalty on the line, Rufus. So we might as well go, because I know it's cold up in the mountains of Virginia. Major Dave, I salute you, sir.
Good morning, my friend. Hope everybody's doing well.
We couldn't do a whole lot better.
Well, I think y'all got more snow than we did last week, but I'm calling to let you know that the good Lord has blessed me and my garden in a way I would never have expected.
Oh, wow.
Well, our land, about 168-acre tract owned by the city of Waynesboro, has been leased to a farmer ever since we've been here. They just rezoned it light industrial, and they're extending our driveway, which is a right-of-way, for heavy equipment access to their land. They started digging down, and then they got to lay a base course of riprap and ABC stone for this heavy equipment to get into their property, and they're digging up all the soil. And I asked the guys, I said, what are you going to do with it? He said, do you need some? They were digging up prime topsoil, like 24 inches down.
Wow.
Good old mountain people, they're helping each other out, I swear.
By the end of the day, I've got 6 to 8 cubic yards of prime topsoil that's going to allow me to greatly expand my container gardening this year, in addition to the land I plow up. And my question is, I have a bunch of 5-gallon buckets, but I have a lot of 3-gallon buckets, kitty litter buckets. And I'm wondering if there's certain vegetables that might do better or as well in the 3-gallon containers compared to the 5. If I stick with the determinate variety, and I'm just wondering how to make best use of that soil this year.
I'm going to suggest cucumbers. I have grown some of the best cucumbers in the world in 3-gallon pots, believe it or not, Major.
Yeah. That and peppers. Peppers would be good if you want to raise peppers in 3 gallons.
Peppers don't take much space at all.
Yeah, they do well in smaller containers. But
did you just want to grow tomatoes, or do you want to grow something else as well?
Well, I'm going to be growing my Roma, because they're the VR determinate varieties. So I'll probably have, I must have 200 of those buckets. So as many as the seeds will come up, I'll have a home for them. And of course, that's what my wife uses to make her spaghetti sauce.
Right.
So which is fabulous. It is so good.
You might could grow, I'll have to check, but you might could grow that San Marzano in those those 3-gallon buckets if you put a cage in it.
Yeah. You trellis it. Of some
if not,
sort,
I'll put them in five. But
right.
Yeah. It would have to be a bunch.
About 2 years ago, we had the power line crews come through cleaning limbs off the line, and they had that big chipper shredder truck. And I told them then, I said, you can just dump those chips over here. I pointed to a place on the side of the yard. They kept coming back for 2 weeks. And I wound up with about 10 cubic yards of good shredded wood chips, and most of it was hardwood. And now down at the bottom, that is all decomposed. And I think if I mix that with that topsoil, I probably couldn't ask for a better product to be planting those seeds in.
That's pretty good, Major. You weren't even in logistics in the Army either, were you?
Well, now, I did serve a fair amount of time with logistics units.
Okay. Well, there you go.
You were a little concerned about your soil washing away, so now you've got more. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
That is true. Well, we want to do everything we can for the local food bank, because Lord knows the lines seem to be getting longer. People are dealing with the economy. But I just had to share that with you, because the Lord just blesses me out of the blue when I didn't even expect it. And I just wanted to say give a little praise offering to him. And again, to thank you guys, because I know what I know because I listen to the show.
Well, we've learned a lot from you too, Major.
Well, Major, you all this largesse comes to you because you're a good person.
That's right.
Now, isn't that a good word,
well,
largesse?
That's right. And his wife's a good cook, too.
Yeah.
Well, that's because I surround myself with good and very smart people.
There you go. That's a good thing for a major to
that's
do.
That's how I survived all those years of public service of 28
yeah.
years.
You hired good people.
Surrounding yourself with good people and let them go. Right, Phil?
Right. Yep. That's right.
Now, some
I'm
people
enjoying
find
the show.
Thank you so much, Major. Take care.
Take
Stay
care
warm.
Of Waynesboro.
Yeah.
You too, my friends. Take care.
Bye. Waynesboro, Virginia.
Can you imagine that many buckets of tomatoes and things?
Well.
I know. Yeah, and yeah. for such a good cause.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Two good causes. A spaghetti sauce that his wife makes and going to the food bank. Yeah. How about that? Well,
we have
that's how the show works.
We got such good listeners, too.
A family.
Everywhere. Yeah. You think about it. Yeah. I have people come up every day and say, I sure do enjoy the the show. And one of them said, I didn't hear much about gardening, but I sure do like to hear you all talk.
Well, we talk gardening. We talk plenty of gardening, but it's life. You know, we're just sitting
life.
Around talking, basically.
Yeah.
And you can only do that with special people. So you can't do that with just anybody.
Well, Phil and I were out yesterday looking at her camellias, and I decided to bring in a couple that didn't get totally warped, and one that has the little indentations of white in the dark red.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is, and Phil had one yesterday, and she said it came right off of a Professor Sargent tree.
So well, I don't know. Planted what. Next to it, and it looks like a seedling from it, but I've got to get out there when it warms up a little bit and investigate that a little more.
So do the roots grow together? Intermingle?
Well, I don't know, because when I dug all those Professor Sargents up over behind my mom and dad's house, what had happened was, I cannot remember the guy's name, but he was an instructor at NC State. He had this huge garden, camellia and azalea garden, over right off of what would now be Blue Ridge Road, but Blue Ridge Road wasn't there then. It was at the Kmart. So there was a pond, and he used the pond for irrigation. Well, he had his camellias and things. When he moved them all out, I went over there and dug up the roots, like the sprouts.
Uh-huh.
They were like, be like 4 or 5 inches tall, and that's where I got all those.
And these things are now 15, 20 feet tall.
Yeah, they're huge.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll show you a picture of one.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I wish I could show everybody, but okay.
Well, a camellia is not a very fast-growing thing.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Yeah.
I have some that are 35 years old, and they're about 20 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep adding. Phil gave me a beautiful one the other day that is just absolutely gorgeous, white, creamy.
And she'll, as the months go by, she'll have more and more and more.
Yeah.
All right, we're at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh with the WPTF Weekend Gardener, and we shall return. All right, we're back on here and just kind of rooting around like hogs. See what we got, because everything smells so good out here. It just smells like it did when we were out here at Christmas. It makes you want to seek it out.
Well, Mike, Phil is on the hunt for the red, what is it that you and I have?
Oh, an Edgeworthia?
Yeah, it's on the hunt for red Edgeworthia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I did a little more research on
red,
that.
Red Devil. All
yeah,
right,
I did
you
a
find?
Little more research on that last night. I don't think they're saying that if there is one, it's not going to be very hardy,
Well, it's smaller. It's a lot smaller, too.
Well, there's... They're saying
you're
if you can find one.
Mike and I are just very desirous of one. You're being discouraging.
I'm sorry. But
yeah, I've never.
We'll have to look a little more.
That would be cool, but I've never seen
it. I just want mine to fully bloom to start giving off that beautiful scent.
Well, mine started blooming.
I call it my chandelier plant.
Yeah. I mean, it says that it's red dragon, and
yeah, I mean, it's all kinds of.
And then you read a little further down here, and it
Camellia Forest Nursery has something on them. I don't know if they carry them.
We'll have to do a little more checking.
They sell them.
Huh.
Yeah, Johnny, there's a photo, but they are smaller. They're a smaller plant.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that would grow in a pot.
It'd be a good place.
I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't know why not.
I'm finding it hard to find land to put stuff
in. And pots, you know, the containers can be so pretty and ornamental, and you can really dress things up. What do you think of that, Johnny?
I like that. I like it. It sounds like it's maybe temperamental.
I don't know. Dave's garden here. Let's see what he says about it. I don't know.
Everybody that I found doesn't have any.
That's why you're mad about it, because you can't find one.
Well, I mean, one person had it for like almost $30. They're out of stock. Another person had it for $50. They're out of stock. So
that's because everybody wants them, I guess.
Now, money's no problem for Mike. He will.
All right. Well, I'll call him and tell him that. Money's no problem.
See, well, plants are expensive anyway.
Yeah, they are.
Absolutely. It should be. A lot of work that goes into them.
Yeah.
Y'all see Phil's greenhouses out there now. Are they absolutely cool?
Did you take a tour of the greenhouses?
Oh, man,
too?
Yeah. Oh, it felt so good to get in there, too.
In the golf cart?
Did.
Did you go in the golf cart, or did you?
No, we walked.
We took a walk, but pansies, snaps, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, we had Phil on yesterday, my boss, Josh Ellis, who at one time was the governor's press secretary and big vice president over Carolina. We're so glad to have him. He was out for a 40th anniversary, and he heard Phil talking about the craziness of the weather. Generally, it is in North Carolina anyway, it seems like. But these last couple of months, we've had sort of unusual weather for us because it's been so cold. But we've had some warm days. And you were concerned about some of the plants.
Normally, hydrangea mostly.
Normally, we're not that concerned about plants, but as we get closer to the time when hydrangeas want to open, for instance, you pointed out hydrangea. You were concerned about that.
Right.
The buds.
Some of them have budded out in some of the nice warm days we've had. And literally, I mean, 19 degrees, two straight mornings are not going to be very kind to those buds.
Yeah.
You can see what it did.
Budding, Commissioner?
After talking with Phil yesterday, I took a little quick tour this morning, and mine they're in small, small buds, so I don't think they're damaged. I don't think so.
That's good.
So if they're real tight.
Yeah.
But it is something to think about.
Well, just look at those camellias there. One day, they're absolutely just beautiful, gorgeous. Hit them a little bit. They're knocked down a little bit. But plenty more buds will come back out.
Yeah, there's tons of buds on camellias. That's the good thing.
Yeah.
Dan used to talk about a secondary bud. If you had a killing freeze or something, that another one would eventually come out.
Right.
So camellias have a lot of general interest, not only by the gardening public, but just because they are so unique.
Right.
All right, we'll talk about plants and talk about Chris Hooks too. Coming up after the break on WPTF Weekend Gardener.
Yes.
We're back on WPTF with the Weekend Gardener. Y'all get your stuff together here now. Let's break it up. Got to start talking. Johnny, you okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. What's been happening in Granville County? You were unable to come to our 40th anniversary because you were out there in the field with a bunch of blueberry trees.
Yeah, we did have a good blueberry workshop, I guess a couple of weeks ago now. It was the 8th. 8th of February we had the blueberry workshop. Bill Klein, the blueberry specialist, came up from Wilmington. He lives in Wilmington, works in Castle Hayne, the research station there. Had a great turnout. We had about 35 people.
That's a good turnout.
Yeah, it was. We were very happy with that. So we learned a lot about blueberries. Bill Klein, he's forgot more about blueberries than I'll ever know. So he's a great resource.
He's a legend.
He certainly is.
So give us a little synopsis of, I mean, people have blueberry and shrubs, and I'm sure that you could use some of the same techniques. Give us a little synopsis of what Bill said and what you know about general pruning techniques.
Well, with blueberries, the important thing is planting them correctly and getting the pH right, because, you know, most plants going to want a pH around a 6.0, 6.5, where the blueberry is going to want a 4.5 to 5.5. The lowest, the highest that you would want as far as pH, but the getting that correct first, you know, to start off with, get that pH right, and then plant them, and you want to plant them high. Blueberries like good drainage, and so mounding them up helps, and adding some pine fines, some real small pine bark with it, really does help the blueberries. So that's the biggest thing, is getting them started right. And a lot of people, you know, when you first plant, you buy one and it's got a lot of blooms on it this time of year, you got buds on it. Well, you really need to cut all those buds off that first year. You don't want the plant to produce the first year, and maybe the second year about half of the blooms that produce, blooms that form, they, you know, you can leave them on, but after that you want to cut about half of them off, and then the third year is when you really start having better production with blueberries. So those first 3 years you're sort of building your plant, and as you go on, blueberries in the rabbit eye varieties or rabbit eye type is what you want to plant in this area. You don't want to you have southern high bush and you have the high bush varieties, but really the rabbit eye is what you want to go with here. So, you know, planting them right, getting the right type, and then pruning, you just sort of do it over time. They get gray wood on them eventually. As they grow, the older wood sort of turns gray, and you want a combination of gray wood and new wood, and the new wood sort of cinnamon color. I tell people, you know, even if you don't like blueberries, you should plant a blueberry because they're ornamental. I mean,
they are very much so. Are there any that are better looking in the landscape than others? Any varieties? Or
I don't know of one. You know, usually, you know, the rabbit eyes, a lot of the varieties will get 10, 12 feet tall, but by pruning them, you keep them down lower. You don't want a blueberry that you can't reach, you know, because... But, you know, they're very ornamental, have beautiful flowers in the spring, berries in the summertime. The fall color is outstanding. I mean, they're beautiful fall color.
No doubt about that.
And then even in the wintertime, they have that cinnamon bark color. You know, they are pretty. You do want to plant more than one variety of blueberries when you plant. You want to, I tell people, if you're going to plant three blueberry plants, plant three different varieties. You don't want to plant...
Rabbit eye or
all rabbit eye. Now, see, rabbit eye is a type of blueberry. So, all rabbit eye varieties: Climax, Premier, Tiff Blue, Powder Blue, lots of different varieties. There's in the plot that we were at the other week. I think we got 11 rabbit eye varieties planted out there. And one southern high bush, and you can go through the plot, and the plants that aren't looking so good are probably the southern high bush. You can pick those out. They don't do as well here as the rabbit eye do. So, you know, planting them, getting the pH right, planting them on a mound, you know, planting them high. If you're going to plant a row of them, you know, if you can just mound that whole row up, and then mulch it. Or add the pine fines in the soil, and then you can put mulch on top to reduce the the weeds and the grass on top. And that's the on top mulch isn't as critical as far as what you use as what you mix in. You don't want to mix in any wood chips or anything like that. You want it to make sure it's pine, the pine fines that are almost broken down a little bit, but they'll help reduce the acidity as they continue to break down, and they add drainage to the plant as well as it grows. So that's the main thing, and it just takes a little planning with blueberries. You don't want to just go out there and put one in the ground. You really want to know what your pH is when you put it in the ground.
Let me ask you a question. I've got I've always called it a huckleberry, but it's the wild blueberry. I've got two of them in the yard. One of them is about 8 to 10 feet tall now, and it has the most beautiful orange leaves, of course, in the fall, and it has tons of berries on it. So I just basically let it feed the birds, and they have a great time with it. So is that the original blueberry for North Carolina? I mean, was that? Do you think
that's a Bill Klein question? I'm not.
I mean, because it's been there. It just came up.
Yeah.
And it's been there for years.
There are some that do come up. We have some on the edge of our woods that come up. And we did talk about the difference between a huckleberry and a blueberry.
Okay.
In that workshop.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, yeah, huckleberries have a seed. Have like 3 to 5 seeds. And maybe 5 seeds.
I'll very have to big, check them out.
Very big seeds.
So huckleberry hound was seedy?
They were seedy. Yeah. If you think it's a blueberry and you eat it and you just get a mouthful of seed, then that's a huckleberry.
Okay.
The huckleberry will have larger seeds.
I don't think I've ever had a Harrison. You had a huckleberry?
I'll have to check this out because, these are not huge berries, but they're really good.
Yeah. Well, if you eat them and you don't taste you don't have those seeds in them, then it's a blueberry. And like I said, we've got blueberries on our property that right on the edge of the woods.
That's where they came up.
That's probably where the birds have planted them there or something. They do good.
All right, we're at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. We'll talk more about blueberries and camellias and other things coming up on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Well, I'll tell you, the cold weather, you're talking about plants being under stress because of the weather. It's all over the place. By golly, your automobile, your SUV, your truck, your car, all are suffering to some extent, or some part of the vehicle, having to try to warm up that engine that sometimes very fairly delicate engine is tough. So go to King's Auto, be proactive, preventative, and get some good service, get things checked out before you have a problem with them. And there are all kinds of things you can get folks at King's Auto Service in Raleigh to check, from the batteries to your tires and brakes and your cooling system, of course. It's working hard right now with the antifreeze to try to keep everything working. And the hoses that are, they can give out after a while, and it's really hard, unless you're an expert, to know. I mean, unless the thing is busted, then you'll know. You don't want it to do that. One of the hoses, so any time of year, that's usually going to happen in the summertime. And a lot of things happen in summer. The battery really gets baked in the summer. And then in the winter is when you start losing power from that battery. But a lot of it was caused in the summertime. Get all of this checked. That 12-volt battery, if you have a hybrid vehicle, they have certified hybrid technicians there, and they can check those big batteries and even get you one of the high-voltage battery pack replacements for less than the dealer will charge for replacement. And they can rebuild the car probably out there if you need to do that. I don't know why you'd want to do that in this day and age, but used car prices are really high, and it's going to be a while before they come down. So get your car checked out. Make sure it's going to run and serve you well. King's Auto Service, 1039 West Street That's the northern part of West Street, downtown Raleigh. KingAutomotive.net. King's Automotive Service, Raleigh's most reliable auto care since 1946. Tell you that old weather forecast sings with John Champion. John's just singing it. That's the Weekend Gardener on WPTF. Mike Rayleigh here. I tell you, Phil is just fidgety this morning. She can't sit still. She's good. She's going off, I guess, 3-2-1. Let me turn that back up.
Here.
She's going 3-2-1.
3-2-1.
Go.
I call it 3-21 because that's what leads into Boone from Lenore.
That's a fine road.
Yeah.
That's right,
321.
Yeah. Both sides of it. I mean, going down under the mountain toward Hickory.
Yeah, my mama, Walter, now go down under the mountain and get some peaches.
Hey, Johnny, we were talking about pruning blueberries, and you did that 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, you got another one. Another thing coming up for pruning.
Yeah. Next weekend, March 1st, we do have one over in Timberlake, North Carolina. We're going to be
going to T.G. Brooks.
Let's go there so Mike can get us lost.
Yeah, over in it's a little south of T.G. Brooks.
I haven't gotten us lost going to T.G. Brooks. It's just getting out of Person County.
It's going to get eat lunch. Y'all were going to eat lunch that day.
We ate lunch.
Flat River
Cafe.
Boy,
that was a good lunch. That was a good cheeseburger over there at the Flat River Cafe.
Okay, so it's coming back from there. And
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
With GPS
Rob
and everything.
Hall, I was on the Roxborough radio station yesterday. Rob Hall said to tell y'all hi. So they but
well,
yeah,
next
yeah.
time we'll get Rob to lead us out of the.
I don't know about that.
Out of the county.
But yeah, the that workshop is going to be from 10 to 12 next Saturday. So if you're interested in learning about pruning, we're going to mainly cover fruit trees, but we'll discuss ornamentals as well. It's on a farm there in Timberlake that the gentleman has a lot of apple trees, and he cut down all his cherries and plums because they just didn't do well for him.
So he's pruning his apples March 1st.
He's already started pruning some, but
because I can remember when I was a kid, they were pruning in January.
Yeah, and then now is a good time to prune, just sort of scheduling wise. That's when we could be out there. But he will have already pruned some of his, but he's going to leave some for demonstration purposes.
Okay.
And he has blueberries as well. He has pears, persimmons. He doesn't have a grapevine, but I'll usually bring part of a grapevine to show how to prune.
Yeah, we got grapevine. And we've already pruned a grapevine.
You could have. I mean, it's still fine to prune them now. I mean,
especially this year because it's been so cold.
Yeah. And you know, Phil was mentioning the warmer temperatures, and you know, I think we were 16 degrees this morning. Which, as long as it stays cold, we're okay.
Y'all were at 16.
We were 16 this morning at Creebo.
Wow. And Rufus, were you that cold?
19.
Oh. Yeah. So it's that doesn't bother plants this time of year. But next week's warm up. I mean, it's supposed to be close to 70 degrees one day next week. That really.
Oh yeah.
That back and forth is what gets the plants, especially the fruit trees. I mean, they have their chilling hours pretty much taken care of now, so they're just waiting for warm days to bust open. And,
right.
The peach trees, of course, are notorious for blooming out early.
I know. There's so much invested in that industry here in North Hills Drive.
Yeah. So if
Speaking of pruning, Johnny and Mike, I guess the most often question I get asked is, when to prune roses? Well, anytime from the fall through February.
Yeah,
you can start in fall, you know, late fall, cutting them down about waist high.
Waist high.
And then it depends on the rose, but I like to cut them down a little bit in the fall, just so they're not so tall in the wintertime.
And you talk about they blow in the wind that cold wind, and it mess up the roots.
Yeah, and then in late February, early March, you
just like double work.
Yeah, I mean, you don't take a lot of time in the fall doing it. You know, you just sort of cut the tops off a little bit and get them shorter.
I think John's got more time than he knows what to do with it.
I don't think that's true, Commissioner. I don't think that's true at all, sir.
Not hard. I don't have any roses. That's the thing.
I've got that tequila sunrise. That's the only one I have, and it's I do have to cut it, but and I put out a little the fertilizer pesticide.
3-in-1 bear?
And the antifungal stuff. 3-in-1 or all-in-one, I guess it is. That's about it. I don't do a lot to it the rest of the time.
How far do you cut yours back? I go down about that one's high. So tall, I go up shoulder high on mine.
We go down knee-high.
On the Tijuana, though, grows up over 10 feet. Mine does.
It gets big.
What variety is that, Rufus?
Well, got it from Phil. So
Tequila Sunrise.
Tequila Sunrise.
Is it a Grandiflora or the Tequila Sunrise?
It's a Grandiflora.
So it doesn't have it has just a light fragrance, but not very much.
I'm familiar with
Tequila
Sunrise.
And all the blooms are not going to look the same.
That's true. That's one of the reasons you like it, and they have different colors.
It can have yellow, pinkish.
Yeah.
Talking about that Tijuana.
Or tequila. Tequila.
That we got from you.
It does have different colors on it. But that's a pretty one.
Tequila instead of Tijuana?
Tequila. You can go to Tijuana and get tequila.
Yeah, those you can prune back, prune about half back and then in the spring.
What is that? What are y'all drinking here?
Got me a mocha.
That's a 3-2-1 caramel latte.
Oh, wow.
And that's
fancy, Johnny. I better move down back over toward Harrison here. He's just drinking coffee.
Well, it's basically the same thing.
It's the elitist side of the table here.
And this is hot chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
For Rufus.
Hot chocolate.
Would you like something?
No, ma'am. Thank you. I got tea and Fresca. HC Dark Hole.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that means.
That means they used it's hot chocolate dark.
They use the whole
with
hot
whole
chocolate.
Milk.
The whole hot chocolate. Mm-hmm. Is it good?
Yeah,
I expect so. At 3-2-1,
had to have hot chocolate the other day when it was snowing.
We made
hot chocolate.
What else did you make? Any snow cream? Or?
We did not make snow cream. It would have been a good snow to make snow cream.
Yeah. It sure would.
I haven't had snow cream in a while.
Well, you know the second part that came on Thursday. Was the when it first started snowing on Thursday, it was like hominy snow.
It's like a broth of snow.
It had these little hard, it was little hard balls. It was really weird. That's what we used to call it. I don't know.
I didn't notice at 4 o'clock in the morning when I was trying to maneuver and stand upright.
We had about 5 inches, and I think Northern Granville County had about 6. And Person County, the Roxboro, the snow capital, they didn't get as much as we did.
They didn't.
They got 3.
Well, I don't want them to lose their title.
3.5. I don't think I heard anybody say anything about 4 inches there. It's about 3.5 inches up there. So it was just a band that came through Granville County that gave us a little bit more.
How about that? Well, everybody is safe.
Roses. Do you have any peace roses?
Not right now.
Is it still one of the most popular in America? The peace rose?
It's not as popular as it used to be. Yeah. It used to be a really big thing.
But everybody should.
How long ago did was it popular? And tell us about the peace rose.
Well, my experience with it was when I was playing when I was doing piano recitals, we used to. My mom
this
and dad
is more than a couple of years ago.
Yeah, this is like back in.
I think I was 50s. Thinking of Treff Rose.
This was before you were born. It's back in the 50s.
Here's our wonderful
rose.
Friends from down at the Rufus Dog.
That's right.
Haven
brought some goodies by. How are you this morning?
I'm good, sir.
Thank you.
You brought by some goodies. What did you bring by there?
Rufus dog and egg and cheese with the bacon, and turkey sandwich with the bacon, and chicken dumplings, and shrimp chips as well.
Mm. How about that?
Shrimp.
It's a market grill.
Market grill.
Is that all for Rufus? Rufus, well, you, you got a Rufus's buffet.
Yeah. Yeah. But so, is the Rufus dog still popular? Big bestseller?
Bestseller. Oh, it should be. It should be. Yeah. How about that?
Well, I have a lot of folks go by and make pictures and bring it back, and they said, that's a pretty hot dog.
Do they ask for an autograph with that?
Yeah, right, autograph on, right on the hot dog.
Yeah. That's an idea. You could,
you know, a lot of people
you get go over and sign the buns.
Things, name buildings and this and that. I get a hot dog.
Sign your name with the mustard.
Yeah, sign my name with a mustard.
Yeah.
That's
a very artistic. That's a good idea, Harrison.
Now the man's talking.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, we love the
Thank
market
you
grill.
So much. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Everybody should go by and get not only Rufus dogs, they serve the best egg and sausage biscuit sandwich, egg and bacon.
They have spring rolls. They're absolutely delicious.
You shrimp rolls.
And you don't have to eat them in the spring. You can eat them any time of year.
So yeah. Go by and see them.
Yeah. Thank you so much. All right, we have 1 minute.
We're talking about the pizza rolls.
Yeah,
back in the 50s, my dad had a huge piece climber, and we used to cut, they would cut big blooms off of that for me to wear in the piano recitals. So I know that it came out about that time.
Oh, wow.
But
I didn't
it's
know
still
you were a
beautiful,
pianist.
Well, a little bit.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Feel it.
Basketball was more fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's ironic. Melissa majored in piano at Meredith.
Right.
She also played basketball there.
Yep.
So, hey, how about that? All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up from the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. We're in the Market Shops. Come join us.